Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In November of 2008, Jim O'Neill was flying his private aircraft from Glasgow, Scotland to, hope I get this name right, Colchester, England, when suddenly his vision failed. Initially, he thought he'd been blinded by the sun, but he soon realized that it was a whole lot worse. Found out that he had suffered a stroke, and it gave him an all too real and terrifying meaning to the expression, flying blind. So O'Neill groped around, he found his radio transmitter and issued a Mayday alert, and Royal Air Force Wing Commander Paul Gerard, who was finishing a training flight nearby, was drafted to help O'Neill. Now, upon finding him, he flew 500 feet off O'Neill's wing, talking and guiding the blind pilot to the nearest runway. Keep coming down, a gentle right turn, left a bit, go right now. O'Neill would have to land that plane by faith and not by sight. On his first try, he hit the runway and bounced up again. And Gerard continued to speak calming words of assurance and hope. And finally, on the eighth try, the blinded pilot actually managed to make a near perfect landing. In an interview while he was recovering, O'Neill said, "It was terrifying. Suddenly I couldn't see the dials in front of me. It was just a blur. I was helpless." You know, like O'Neill, we've all been struck blind at one time or another. Perhaps not by a stroke, but with a divorce or a crippling expense, or a diagnosis of cancer. And not midair, but mid-career, mid-semester, or mid-life. And unable to see a safe landing strip, we've issued our fair share of Mayday prayers. And this morning, as we gaze into this new year, we may feel that more than ever, we're flying blind, terrified, and helpless. In that same interview, O'Neill reflected on the importance of the voice of that RAF pilot who talked him down to a safe landing. So in this year to come, we too are given a voice to listen to, that one voice that matters, the voice of God. And that's what we hear in Psalm 29. In fact, the phrase, "the Lord's voice," appears in that psalm 7 times. And that's not by coincidence. Throughout Scripture, 7 is the number of perfection. So this is the perfect voice of the perfect and holy God who speaks with both power and peace. But unlike Jim O'Neill, who was able to focus on the voice of that one pilot in his headset, unfortunately, there are many voices that clamor for our attention, giving us advice on how to fix whatever the problem at the moment right might be. The talk show host says, "Well, just stop worrying." Good Dr. Phil advice. The financial advisor says, "Now's the time to buy." The friend at work says, "Well, here, read this book. This will take care of it." And at times, unfortunately, we even hear our own voice sadly saying, "What's the use?" So this morning, as we consider that what's going to chart our course this year, we're going to listen to what David writes. "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters." As with many psalms, these words take us back to the beginning, back to Genesis 1. And there we're told that God's Spirit hovered over the face of the waters, and his voice thundered out, "Let there be light," and there was light. You see, in our psalm, David wants us to remember and trust that God's voice has authority and power. His word has authority and power. When God speaks, things happen. All creation came into being through the authority and power of God speaking, an authority and power that still reverberates today. Janet and Lucas and I went to the movie the other night. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but we went to a movie. And just before that movie began, the speakers in the theater began to rumble, shaking our legs in our chest, in our chairs, in order to convince us of the power of the theater's state-of-the-art immersive Dolby sound system. As impressive as that was, it couldn't begin to compare with the voice that we hear in the next few verses of Psalm 29. Imagine that kind of bass amplified by 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 fold, reverberating down across the Mediterranean Sea, slamming into the coast of Israel. And then that voice and that storm becomes a whirlwind that billows through Lebanon's mountains, shearing off colossal cedars, snapping them like toothpicks. Those trees were as majestic as the redwoods, 130 feet tall and trunks almost 25 feet around. But they're no match for the voice of the Lord. It blasts them to pieces, shatters them to smithereens. It's as though the Lord takes a God-sized weed eater and goes through the forests, plowing down all the trees. And along with that thunder, there are lightning bolts. On every side, the skies light up like the 4th of July, as David declares, he makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a wild young ox. Perfect image, right? You all understand exactly what David's trying to say there. Well, Syrian is the Phoenician name for Mount Hermon, which stands in the far north of a country. And what David says is that this mighty mountain dances, quakes, like a young calf in the springtime, as God's voice shakes the earth like an earthquake of massive proportions off the Richter scale. And then that storm rushes out of the north, out of the mountains, into the wilderness of Kadesh at the southernmost point of Israel. And the silence and the solitude of the wilderness, which normally lies still and quiet, is also shaken by God's majestic voice. And as it continues to storm through the land, his voice causes the deer to give birth and then bellows on, stripping the forest bears. And the final catastrophe is a great flood that covers the land. And the only thing that survives is the throne of God. He is king over the flood. He is king of all creation. That's a powerful voice. You know, the prophet Isaiah declares that God's voice endures forever, that it accomplishes the purposes for which he sends it. God's voice is more powerful than armies or treaties or chariots or horses or Wall Street, or nuclear bombs. Anything. No human power is as powerful. This same voice hovers over baptismal waters, giving new life to the one washed, regenerated, and renewed by the Holy Spirit. This same voice of power and authority declares people forgiven and clean from their sin, setting another prisoner free. This same voice speaks over bread and wine. And as people eat and drink, they walk away assured that they have been forgiven by God himself. You know, when we're flying at 10,000 feet, way out there, kind of looking at everything with no clue about what lies ahead, where life is going, or if it's possible to ever get down safely, God's voice breaks into our chaos and frustration and pain. And it assures us that the Lord is still in control. He is in charge in heaven and on earth. And just as he has the power to create all things, he has the power to deal with whatever circumstance we may find ourselves in. But there's more. Because Psalm 29 ends with these words. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. After all the storms and calamities and catastrophes and explosions and deluges, we hear God's last word. And that is a word of peace. And that peace doesn't appear in a windstorm or a whirlwind or an explosion or a deluge. Nor does it come in the roll of thunder or the rumblings of an earthquake. You see, God's voice of peace is just as tangible and concrete as all of that. But God's voice of peace comes in the cry of a little baby, the baby whose birth we just celebrated at Christmas. His is a voice of peace because the baby Mary cradled in her arms was no ordinary baby. This baby actually saw the very first ray of sunlight and heard the first crash of any wave. And as we confessed just a few minutes ago, this one born of Mary is God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made. That night in Bethlehem, the artist himself became paint on his own canvas, and the potter became clay on his own wheel. God took on human flesh through the body of a girl from a village that's so insignificant that the name Nazareth isn't even mentioned in the Old Testament. His family had no privileges or connections with the right kind of people. Jesus, the maker of the universe, the one who spoke it all into existence, was born into a family too poor to pull the strings that would allow lodging and a bed for a pregnant mother. That's stooping pretty low for the one whose voice could cause the devastation we read about in Psalm 29. But he actually will go much lower. On one dark Friday, he allowed soldiers to march him down the streets of Jerusalem while he shouldered a crossbeam on a back that had been beaten to a pulp. And he allowed his executioners to strip him naked, shove him to the ground, and fasten him to wood with nails that this carpenter was all too familiar with. And Jesus, the Word that spoke the universe into existence and was made flesh, silently endured the spit and the insults of those who hated him and rejoiced in his suffering without asking his Father to dispense the 12 legions of angels that were at his disposal, all for you and me. But he wasn't completely silent. He did say a few things that Friday afternoon. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today you will be with me in paradise. And maybe most beautiful of all, it is finished. There at the cross, where he looks the most weak, God gives strength to his people. And there in the midst of so much violence and hate, the Lord blesses his people with peace. That's the peace that we often declare when we come together as his people. The peace of the Lord be with you. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. You know, when you're flying blind at 10,000 feet, when you're wondering what's going to happen next, and when everything you look around you looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket, that's when you need a voice in your headset. And God speaks. He speaks with power and authority. He says, I'm in charge here. Nothing can stand against me. I'll help you. You can count on it. And God speaks with peace. And with tenderness, he says, keep coming down. Gentle right turn. Go left a bit. And with that voice guiding us, we can know that no matter what happens in the months ahead or the years ahead, no matter what happens, we're safe. We're safe in his arms. And one day, come what may, we're going to land safely in his arms in that place of perfect and never-ending peace. Amen.